The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, and it is showtime. Welcome to it. Welcome to a Tuesday. I'm Nicole Sandler. You know, Tuesday is our Monday. Here we are, and we started with today's pre-show music. What? Oh no, I have an alarm going off somewhere, and I don't even know where the phone is. Oh no, there it is. Okay, sorry, I think it's telling me it's showtime. Okay, so anyway, I hate when that happens. Anyway, the pre-show music today was all songs dealing with TV, wrapping up with Frank Zappa's Pitch Perfect, I Am the Slime on Your TV. The Washington Post this weekend did an article about Trump's really, what they call his obsession with cable television. Let me just read to you the opening paragraphs. During a small working lunch at the White House last month, the question of job security in President Trump's tumultuous White House came up, and one of the attendees wondered whether Press Secretary Sean Spicer might be the first to go. The president's response was swift and unequivocal. Quote, "I'm not firing Sean Spicer," he said, according to someone familiar with the encounter. "That guy gets great ratings. Everyone tunes in." Seriously? Because he gets great ratings, everyone tunes in? All right. I'll get back to this in a second, but somebody is calling in at the start of the show. Hi, who's this?
Hi. Excuse me. My name is Donna. I emailed you yesterday that all I'm getting now, if I push anything, is Twitter from Angelo Corazon and dump Trump. I can't.
Where are you trying to listen?
I always listened until yesterday on NicoleSandler.com.
Right.
And, you know, I would get two things with the progressive voices. And,
right,
and the YouTube, and I like to read the chatter, you know.
Okay.
That's a whole long story.
And so when you
but
go...
I don't know what to do now.
Okay, if you go to NicoleSandler.com/listen-live, what happens?
Wait a minute, let me get this off. And I would always go to Nicole Sandler.
Right. Okay, so you go to NicoleSandler.com.
And then I would push listen, watch, and chat.
Right, okay. And that should bring you to the Listen Live page.
You and the pictures and the progressive way and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that. And now I just push the same thing I always did, and I get Twitter with Angelo.
That's weird. I don't know why. Just try to go to NicoleSandler.com/listen-live.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, sorry about that. And if you want, try calling me back after 4 o'clock, after the show ends, and I can help walk you through it better.
Oh, I will, because I have a lot to say to you, and I'm a slow emailer.
Right.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, all right, bye-bye. See, I told you I do everything here. Technical support on how to listen. She did send me an email. I don't know what's happening. Maybe I somehow screwed up and pointed something to the wrong page. Anyway, back to what I was saying. So Trump said, "I'm not firing Sean Spicer. That guy gets great ratings. Everyone tunes in." This president is obsessed with the television. Here's Ashley Parker with a little bit more on this article they wrote.
He starts his day in the morning watching television. He checks in throughout the day. There's a TV just off the Oval Office. And then he goes back to the residence at night and he watches more television. Aides and lawmakers quickly realized that the best way to get a message to Donald Trump was not necessarily even to walk into the Oval Office or to try to have your secretary call his secretary and set up a meeting through traditional channels, but to get on a TV camera, to get in front of him through the lens of television. And you saw lawmakers making actually direct appeals.
I know the president-elect is watching, and I would say to you, president-elect, I'd be happy to meet with you at any moment. But we have work to do.
Lo and behold, Congressman Cummings' phone rang, you know, the next day, and it was Trump himself calling. And Trump has also been known, he'll see lawmakers on TV on Morning Joe or other shows, and he'll often call them to say, you know, great job, or I saw what you were saying, that's very interesting, why don't you come by the White House to discuss? So for him, it's really sort of like a two-way receiver and conduit. One thing that a lot of journalists have realized, especially in the morning, is that if you see a tweet, there is frequently something that prompted that tweet that he was watching on television. So if Donald Trump tweets something out, you can almost invariably go back and look, and Fox and Friends maybe mentioned a study and now he's tweeting it out, or Morning Joe mentioned a congressional race that's not going his way and now he's angry and weighing in. But there does seem to be a very direct sort of television show segment, Twitter response by the president correlation.
It is surreal. It is truly surreal. And there goes my alarm again. Okay, now it'll stop. So it really surreal in that, you know, this is the makeup of a bad television show. The president who just can't stop himself from watching cable news, right? Here's a little bit from this Washington Post article that I'll link to from the blog today at NicoleSandler.com. By the way, NicoleSandler.com/blog is where you could find all the past shows. Okay. On his campaign plane, Trump watched television on full volume, usually Fox News, sometimes CNN, almost constantly, said someone who flew with him, shushing his aides whenever he himself came on the screen and listening with rapt attention. When Hillary Clinton appeared, he'd similarly quiet his team, often before pointing a finger at the TV and scolding, "She's lying! She's lying!" To relax, however, He would occasionally watch the Golf Channel while on his plane or in the clubhouses of some of his private courses. Now that he's in the White House, friends and aides describe a president who still consumes a steady diet of cable news. During an intimate lunch recently with a key outside ally in a small West Wing dining room, for instance, Trump repeatedly paused the conversation to make the group watch a particularly combative Spicer briefing. It's amazing. Trump turns on the television almost as soon as he wakes, then checks in periodically throughout the day in the small dining room off the Oval Office and continues late into the evening when he's back in his private residence. Once he goes upstairs, there's no managing him, said one advisor. Sometimes at night, he hate watches cable shows critical of him while chatting on the phone with friends, said someone familiar with the president's routine, a quirk a senior official jokingly called multi-teching. It's unbelievable. I love this one. In the morning, he typically flips between Fox and Fiends, Maria Bartiromo's show on Fox Business, and CNBC Squawk Box. West Wing aides assert that the president stopped watching MSNBC's Morning Joe after the show's hosts grew increasingly critical of his presidency. But some confidants think he still tunes in, especially for the top of the program. And it goes on from there. And, you know, to make matters worse, he, in his braggadocious way, he got under the skin of Whoopi Goldberg.
In an Associated Press interview where he couldn't resist slamming the fake media. And he bragged that his appearance on Face the Nation gave them the best ratings since the World Trade Center fell on 9/11. Yeah. You know what, man? That is it. That's sacrosanct. You don't use 9/11 to bolster yourself. What
he
the
does.
Hell?
Yeah. He does.
What is going on?
It was such a bizarre.
In the words
interview of
Holden Caulfield, he's as sensitive as a toilet seat.
Holden Caulfield, for the uninitiated, the protagonist in Catcher in the Rye. They went on from there. But, you know, one of the things that Trump likes to boast about to, and he has to several advisors and friends, that he has, quote, the world's best TiVo. This is his intelligence. And I say that in every manner in which it could be construed. His intelligence doesn't come from the FBI or the CIA or any of the 17 intel agencies, because each major division in government has its own intel group. They all, none of them does Trump believe. Instead, he gets his, quote, intel from watching Fox and Fiends. Be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Tuesday, so Gotta Laugh is here. We'll take a quick time out. We'll check in with what's news and come back with Gotta Laugh next.
I read the news today.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
They're back. After a two-week recess filled with raucous town hall meetings, Congress fled their districts to head back to D.C. and the final week of the residents' push to get something, anything accomplished during his first 100 days in office.
I propose a contract with the American voter. It's a set of promises for what I'll do in my first 100 days.
What follows is my 100-day action plan to make America great again.
Just think about what we can accomplish in the first 100 days of a Trump administration.
On November 8th, Americans will be voting for this 100-day plan to restore prosperity to our country, secure our communities, and honesty to our government.
Restore honesty to our government? Well, that didn't happen.
Honesty is hardly ever heard, and mostly what I need from you.
As we approach President Trump's 100th day and a potential government shutdown looms, his approval ratings are at historic lows. Here's how the president responded to the new poll in tweets. New polls out today are very good, considering that much of the media is fake and almost always negative, would still beat Hillary in popular vote. Keeping him honest, he did not beat Hillary Clinton in the popular vote. She beat him by almost 2.9 million votes. Now, this might seem like a minor point, but let's just think for a moment how unusual it should be for a president of the United States to cavalierly and repeatedly say things that are simply not true. It isn't something we should be desensitized to. He didn't win the popular vote. And for the record, there is no evidence of millions of illegal votes by illegal immigrants, another claim he made and never proved. President Obama did not wiretap Trump Tower, as he tweeted out. President Trump's inaugural crowd was not the biggest. It doesn't even matter, but it wasn't. And no, his electoral electoral victory was not the largest since President Reagan. In fact, he ranks near the bottom.
Oh, those new poll numbers are not good for Dump.
We have our brand new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll to tell us just how Americans think the president is doing as we approach day 100. In short, not well.
The worst approval ratings around the 100-day mark for any president in modern times.
He laid out a very detailed 100-day contract, he called it. Obamacare, tax reform, border wall funding, infrastructure spending, new trade tariffs, labeling China a currency manipulator, ending the Common Core education standards. 100 days in, or 1 week from 100 days anyway, incomplete at best. None of this has been done.
With all of his focus on the first 100 days, Trump must be walking back some of those promises, right? Well, sadly, he still has spicy saying red is green and in is out in his oh-so-articulate way.
Those pieces are not small. But I'm saying in terms of overall what he has accomplished has been unbelievably significant.
Huh?
Can you speak to us briefly about all the legislative action that you're planning next week? How are you going to accomplish all of that?
It's going to be great. Well, it'll happen.
You're going to do health care and tax reform?
We'll see what happens. No particular rush, but we'll see what happens. But healthcare is coming along well. Government is coming along really well.
Government is coming along really well? There is something big that could happen on Saturday, April 29th, that is day 100 of the Trump administration.
Shutdown showdown.
The White House is racing to avoid marking the president's first 100 days in office with a government shutdown.
If Congress doesn't send President Trump a government funding bill by midnight on Friday, the government will run out of money and a shutdown would begin.
A sticking point, as you may know, is money for the wall along our border with Mexico.
He could be the first president in history to face a government shutdown in his first 100 days.
How about that wall?
Mother should have built the wall.
Mexico is supposed to pay for the wall.
Well, I think, Jim, the president has made very clear that initially we needed to get the funding going, and there's be several mechanisms to make sure that that happens. That funding piece will happen in due time.
That is a promise that the president made during the campaign.
It is. No, but he also
said Mexico would pay for the wall.
Right.
And now we're having a discussion that the wall.
Right. We feel very confident the government's not going to shut down.
As recently as Monday, the message from the White House came through loud and clear in a Trump tweet. Obamacare is in serious trouble. The Dems need big money to keep it going. Otherwise, it dies far sooner than anyone would have thought. Call me crazy, but that sounded like blackmail. Either the Democrats vote to fund his idiotic wall that Mexico was supposed to pay for, or he withholds the government's payments to the health insurers for their part of the Obamacare costs. Way to threaten murder, Mr. President. So it wasn't that big of a surprise to awaken Tuesday to this news.
The president is shifting the calendar, now telling conservative reporters he's open to delaying funding for wall construction until this fall instead of this week.
Push the wall to the fall. A new slogan they can use and pretend like it was theirs all along. But he still hasn't given up on getting something done before Saturday. It is, after all, the way they do things. When you twist things around, it's almost as if Dump has accomplished something.
President Trump has signed more executive orders than any Oval Office occupant since World War II. 25 executive orders, to be exact, rolling back regulations and exerting executive powers on issues ranging from trade to taxes. Although, now that I mentioned these executive orders,
we don't want to continue to watch people signing executive orders because that was not what the Constitution and the brilliant designers of this incredible document had in mind.
After the first 100 days, only 1,361 to go. If you appreciate What's News and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider a contribution. We are 100% listener supported, so we rely on your generosity to keep going. Visit NicoleSandler.com/donate for information on how you can help.
The Nicole Sandler Show is 100% listener supported. Have you given yet? Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. You'll get all the regular shows and have access to the new Monday Music Show podcast and The Vault at NicoleSandler.com, plus bonus content. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you. Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Laffy on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello. Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
You reached the Trump's first 100 days hotline.
Oh, boy.
Press 1 if you think it's more like Trump's first 100 days.
First, would you say it again? You cut out on me, laughing machine.
Oh, man, a stupid Skypey. It's press one if you think it's more like Trump's first 100 cray-crays.
Oh, cray-crays. Yeah, beep.
Beep. Press two if you think it's more like our first 100 go-aways.
Oh, please. Yes.
First 1,000. First million. Press three if you think it feels more like Trump's first 100 years.
Ay, ay, ay. 100 seconds was too long. How did this happen?
Getting an insecure, needy, narcissistic, sick nutcase into the... What are you worried about?
Come on. 12-year-old. He's a 12-year-old. He really
is. He's worse than 12. 12 has some semblance of maturity, because I've taught all age groups, and they're not too bad. I'd say more like 4 years old.
Yeah.
You know, he's just barely able to talk, and he's still toddling around and wants his own way and sees everything through his own eyes. So, yeah, I'd say about four, three.
Yeah, it's like pretty stunning. Then I see, you know, his daughter, right? Who was it that he had? He does the call to the space station with Ivanka sitting there. What the fuck is she doing there?
What's she doing anywhere? Did you see what happened where she got booed in Germany?
She got booed in Germany. I have it here. Let's listen to a little bit of it, shall we? Ivanka's on the stage in Germany. It's some woman's thing. There's Angela Merkel there, always with that same scowl on her face whenever she's in the presence of a Trump. Isn't that interesting? And Ivanka starts making excuses for her predator of a father.
Sadly, the United States is one of the only countries in the world, the only developed country in the world that doesn't have a paid leave policy for the benefit of families. So that is something I'm very, very proud of my father's advocacy.
What?
Long before he came into the presidency, but during the campaign, including in the primaries, he's been a tremendous champion of supporting families and enabling them to thrive. The new reality of
you hear the reaction from the audience, so I need to address one more point. Some attitudes towards women your father has publicly displayed in former times might leave one questioning whether he's such an empower for women. How do you relate to that, or are things changing, or what's your comment on that?
I've certainly heard the criticism from the media, and
from the media,
and from the media,
perpetuated.
I know from personal experience, and I think
she's speaking so breathlessly.
Thousands of women.
You know, what's interesting is you could hear whoever was recording it. You know, the mic was just picking up what's on stage, and yeah. I guess they heard the boos and stuff from the audience, so they brought up the room ambiance, so you could hear the booing and the hissing. That's why it all of a sudden got echoey. Whoever was running was saying, oh, the mics aren't picking this up. Let me open it up a little bit so the microphones can hear the crowd sounds. Because that often happens, from an old AV tech, that sometimes, you know, when you're just, all you have is the microphone from the stage, you don't hear the audience reaction. Whoever was running the sound obviously heard it and said, ooh, we need everybody to be able to hear this. And that's why it got echoey like that.
You know, that's the first time I've been able to hear it, because when they show the clip on TV, you don't hear it at all.
You don't hear it because they didn't open it up to the crowd sounds.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But you know what's weird? You know how she talks like this with her little voice, and she's all whispery and everything.
She sounds like she's a little hoarse. Maybe she's working too hard. Maybe she should just go home and be with her kids.
Maybe, but she's like a Stepford wife, and she's learned a little bit of Valley Girl while she learned. Yes. Anyway, but I was watching an old, somebody put up a tape of her as a teenager, a video. It was a short clip, but it was her speaking into the camera, and she was mid-teens, maybe 16, 17. She spoke nothing like that. And I'm not even talking like teen talk. Like, she didn't do like teen talk. She spoke like a normal person. She had a nice, loud, sort of firm speaking voice, you know, especially for a kid, right?
Uh-huh.
And so the transition to how she speaks now is sort of a jolting. because
yeah,
now,
and the sing-songy thing, I think she got it from watching Bill O'Reilly, because you know Bill O'Reilly, he always speaks, and welcome to the factor, he doesn't speak in a normal cadence, he always does a sing-songy, and apparently he came back and did his podcast and said the truth is going to come out.
Yeah, but she's actually more monotonic than he is. She kind of it's the same exact little cadence and little rhythms and little intonations, and then she has sort of this throaty. I don't know where she acquired this. Either she got hoarse from smoking or from screaming and at her dad or something.
Yeah, you know what? I don't give her that much credit. And this has been a sort of a kerfuffle that's come up lately. You know, for all that the line is that she and Jared are going to be this moderating influence.
Oh,
on
please!
Him.
Oh,
right.
Please!
Really? You know, that she just spouts bullshit is all she does.
Did you watch the John Oliver segment?
I haven't seen it yet. No, I have not seen it yet.
Oh,
but
man,
I heard
he
almost
just goes
the whole show
into
this
it.
Week you... was that, right?
I'm sorry?
Almost the whole show this week was the Ivanka and Jared show.
Mm-hmm. It was. He did his opening segment on, you know, something else related to Trump. And then his big, big segment. Actually, I was kind of dozing in and out of it because we tape it and watch it later. And so I missed some of it. But basically, I saw all of it. And he was saying things like, first of all, this whole thing about Jared going to Harvard or whatever it was. He disputed some of that. You know, his credentials, so to speak. He talked about Ivanka not being the moderate, you know, moderate voice that everybody keeps touting her as.
Yep.
You know, he did everything you wanted him to do, only he did it funny. And maybe tomorrow you'll play some of it on your show. It was really, really well done, of course.
Everything John Oliver does is good. You know who else is who has been on a roll lately? Of course, is Stephen Colbert. And I didn't get see his show last night either. But did you notice the minute Colbert got back to politics and decided to take on Dump, he bolted to the top of the late night ratings wars, which is something I wanted to talk to you about because your husband, Mr. Laffy, is a television writer and looks like there may be a strike.
Yeah, well, he's not affected because he's producing the show. So and it's also, I believe his show is non-union, which is why he's producing and not writing. He couldn't write for it.
Oh, I see, because he's a member of the WGA. Well, so here's the latest on that. Writers Guild, they voted today to strike, and the strike is over healthcare, go figure.
There you go.
They're going to go back to, you know, keep negotiating tomorrow, but they could go on strike as soon as next week, which means that there is no checks on Dump if that happens, because all the late night from
you're
Stephen,
cutting in and out.
Yeah, nothing I can do about it. Just try to bear with me. From Stephen Colbert.
Okay, missing, just so you know.
From Stephen Colbert to John Oliver to Samantha Bee. All of the biting humor, all of that stuff, this affects that. And so without those voices pushing back, people are going to be stuck with us.
Well, I have a feeling they'll let themselves be heard online and, you know, maybe they'll record some YouTubes or something to put out there in the meantime, or maybe, who knows? I mean, sometimes there are waivers that happen, so maybe the Writers Guild will allow some waivers considering who they're up against in terms of politics. Who knows? But yeah, you're right. I mean, the timing. There is no timing because we've got, well, I guess 4 years of this.
Yes.
I guess.
Right. No, well, I put it in perspective at the very end of What's News. I don't know if you heard it. So we're, you know, all this big buildup to Dump's first 100 days, right? So the 100 days is up on Saturday. Then there's only, 1,361 days left. Oh, God. We got to do this.
Oh, boy. 1,300
more times.
I remember, who was it that used to do the countdown? There was a show was it on CNN that used to do a countdown.
It was
Olbermann.
Yes, it was countdown. Go figure.
Yeah, how about that? By the way, there was a quote from the the obsession with cable TV article that you were doing with about Trump.
Yeah.
That also I made note of, quote, Trump took issue with the aesthetics of a male commentator who appeared as a guest on Morning Joe and began pestering hosts, imploring them to dump him. So, if you know, he's all about cosmetics, all about looks, all about how his staff is dressed.
All about ratings, and so all about like Fox.
Yeah, exactly. And so he didn't like the aesthetics of somebody on Mojo, and he wanted the guy he wanted them to dump him because of the way he looked, or the way his appearance was. So, I mean, this is just unbelievable. This guy is really, truly a sick puppy, a very sick man. I'm sure you, if you didn't read this, I've got it set up for you, and I've got a ton of quotes. The transcript of the AP interview he did.
Oh,
have you
my
read
God,
that?
Yes. And it's one of the things I kept out here. This was bizarre. Everything about him is bizarre. But he's just, first of all, I love it's a one-on-one interview, right? Where they're there with a recorder. We didn't get to hear it, but they released the official transcription, except the words where there were words that were 16 times impossible to transcribe. They just came out as unintelligible, which you could say of everything he says is unintelligible. But really,
you're gone. There you are.
You're doing a one-on-one interview, and 16 times it's unintelligible.
I'm so glad that you noticed that, because I kept reading, I read the whole thing, and I'm like, wait, unintelligible again and again and again. I mean, either their recorder was really bad or they just didn't bother to clear things up. But yeah, there was a lot of unintelligible. Then again, when he speaks normally, it's unintelligible. So there's that. But you hit on something in your What's News thing where the quote is, he starts out, it's interesting. I seem to get very high ratings. First of all, I just say, the first half a page or page I was reading of the AP interview was nothing but him bragging. The first several questions and answers, he answered with just him bragging, which is so annoying. I could not even believe it. But anyway, it's interesting. I seem to get very high ratings. You know, Chris Wallace had 9.2 million people. It's the highest in the history of the show. I have all the ratings for all those morning shows. When I go, they go double, triple. Chris Wallace looked back during the Army-Navy football game. I did his show that morning. Then he does what you highlighted.
Right.
It had 9.2 million people. It's the highest they've ever had on any on air. Dickerson had 5.2 million people. It's the highest for Face the Nation, or as I call it, Deface the Nation. It's the highest for Deface the Nation since the World Trade Center, the World Trade Center came down as a tremendous advantage. So he compares himself to 3,000 people dying. That's his standard.
Yeah.
And he uses something that's sacred, that people, you know, we are
by the way, they didn't run any advertising. They ran no commercials during the coverage of the World Trade Center's coming down. You might remember for days there were no ads running. It was probably a week later when they finally started running ads again. They don't measure catastrophes like that in terms of rating, because they're ratings.
Of course not.
But Dump does. Because to him, it's all about ratings. It just shows how out of touch he is with anything normal.
Anything. I mean, this is beyond infantile. This is mentally ill. One does not do this. One doesn't look at that as a standard. First of all, as a president, you don't look at yourself in terms of ratings. That's unheard of. And he does. The transcript, like, here. Oh, my God, I'm frozen. My computer is frozen.
Oh, no. See, maybe it's on your side this time.
It is on my side. I got... I'm thinking it's from my VPN. Every so often it freezes my computer. So
you
now
have
I can't
a VPN?
Read. Here I do have
I
did a lot of reading and I ended up getting it. Anyway, we can do my tweet spot, because this ties right in, because I do have quotes written that
then
I can read.
Let's do it then. Let's do it. Here we go.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Okay, let me start out by saying the first tweet is about the AP interview, and our friend David Waldman, KGRO X, says, I consider this to be a 25th Amendment filing. Because it was just that insane.
Right.
So luckily, I did print out three different quotes from it. So I don't... Oh, my thing came back. Okay. But anyway, Trump. Okay, the one thing I've learned to do that I never thought I had the ability to do, I don't watch CNN anymore, AP. You just said you did. Trump. No, no. No, if I'm passing it, what did I just say in Audible? AP, you just said Trump. Where, AP?
Two minutes ago.
whoa, right? Okay, then here's another one. He's explaining that he only called NATO obsolete because he didn't know much about NATO. Trump, they had a quote from me that NATO's obsolete, but they didn't say why it was obsolete. I was on Wolf Blitzer, very fair interview, the first time I was ever asked about NATO, because I wasn't in government. People don't go around asking NATO about NATO if I'm building a...
Uh-oh. Now I lost you. People don't go around asking about NATO if I'm...
NATO's obsolete, not knowing.
If I'm building a building in Manhattan, right? So they asked me, Wolf, asked me about NATO, and I said two things. NATO's obsolete, not knowing much about NATO. Now I know a lot about NATO. NATO is obsolete, and I said, and the reason it's obsolete is because of the fact that they don't focus on terrorism. You know, back when they did NATO, there was no such thing as terrorism.
There you go.
I
have to ask you, just because this was just weird on audio... I was reading that very quote, and then it went blank, and then you were reading that very quote.
Yeah,
did something happen?
Because you blocked out. You went dead, and so I picked up where you were reading.
Oh, good. Okay.
Just to fill the dead air.
I'm going crazy with the audio today. Sorry. Okay, here's another one. AP, you talked a little bit about the way that you've brought some business skills into the office. Is there anything? Oh, are you hearing me?
I'm hearing you, yeah.
Okay. Is there anything from your business background that just doesn't translate into the presidency that just simply is not applicable to
Everything.
This job?
Everything. Yeah, sorry.
Trump. Well, in business, you don't necessarily need heart, whereas here, almost everything affects people. So if you're talking about healthcare, you have healthcare in business, but you're trying to just negotiate a good price on healthcare, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're providing health. This is unintelligible. Here, pretty much everything you do in government involves heart, whereas in business, most things don't involve heart. So, okay, so he's gone from saying that in NATO, he doesn't have to know anything if he's not president. He doesn't have to inform himself as long as he's not president. If he's just building a building, who cares about NATO, right? That's silly. Okay, now he's saying if you're in business, you don't have to have heart either. If you're as president, oh my God, suddenly maybe things take some heart. But no, not in business, because there's no, most things don't involve heart. Like the bizarre...
You gotta have heart.
Miles and miles and miles of heart. I'm seeing my tweets all mixed up. Sorry. Okay. So yeah. So then I'm reading from the beginning of the AP interview. This is now off topic from TweetSpot for a second.
Yeah.
And I'm just gonna start from the beginning, just because he starts talking about himself immediately. He says, "I want to talk to you about the 100 days, Trump." Good.
Yeah.
AP, I want to ask a few questions on some topics that are happening toward the end of the interview. Trump, did you see Aya? And he's talking about the charity, the Egyptian American charity worker who was detained for nearly 3 years.
Yeah.
And then AP says, can you tell me a little about how that came about? Trump, no, just, you know, I asked the government to let her out. Trump, you know, Obama worked on it for 3 years, got Zippo, zero. AP, how did you hear about this story? Trump, many people, human rights people, are talking about it. It's an incredible thing, especially when you meet her. You realize, I mean, she was in a rough place. AP, did you have to strike a deal with Egypt? Trump, no, no deal. He was here. I said, I really would appreciate it if you would look into this and let her out. And as you know, she went through a trial. And anyway, she was let go. And not only she, it was a total of 8 people. I mean, it's all him, right?
Yeah, of
course.
It's all him.
Call him.
Because he's
so,
a negotiator.
Yeah, the whole,
he's
you,
a
I strongly suggest that everybody read this interview. I know it's long. Read it. As you read it, your jaw drops further and further to the floor.
Yeah.
Because everything interview, he's repetitive.
The next thing
redundant.
He says is, yeah, it's funny. One of the best chemistries I had was with Merkel, German Chancellor Angela Merkel. AP
right.
says, really? And Trump says, Chancellor Merkel. And I guess somebody shouted out, shake her hand, you know, but I never heard it. But I had already shaken her hand four times, you know, because we were together for a long time. And then AP, did you expect you'd have a good chemistry with her? Trump, no, because I'm at odds on, you know, the NATO payments, and I'm at odds on immigration. We had unbelievable chemistry, unbelievable, unbelievable. And people have given me credit for having great chemistry with all of the leaders, including El Sisi. I called him that, Sisi, you know. He's a sissy because he's a sissy. I threw that part in.
That's an ad lib, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, she just keeps going on
but
about
I'm
how
not,
he
I'm
did
not
everything.
Braggadocious, you know. I'm not a braggadocio, so.
No, I'm just an asshole, stupid idiot asshole. No, I mean, but he, every single question, what they do is they break this up into topics in the AP interview, and every single one of them brings it back. He brings it back to himself.
Every time.
Every single one of
them. About the F-35 fighter jets. I have great relationships with Congress. I think we're doing very well, and I think we have a great foundation for future things. We're going to be applying, I shouldn't be telling you this, but we're going to be announcing probably on Wednesday tax reform. And it's, we've worked long and hard, unlike my penis. And you've got to understand, I've only been here 93 days, 92 days. President Obama took 17 months to do Obamacare. I've been here 92 days, but I've been only working on the health care. You know, I had to get a little bit of grounding, right? Health care started after 30 days. So I've been working on health care for 60 days. You know, we're very close. And it's a great plan. You know, we have to get it approved. Can you tell I've been working on my Trump?
Oh, you've been doing really well. Okay, then AP later on asks him about tax reform. Are you going to roll it out this week, this next week? Yeah. And he goes, well, I'm going to roll out probably on Wednesday, around Wednesday of next week. We're putting out a massive tax reform, business and for people. We want to do both, business and for people. And then they does unintelligible. We've been working on it unintelligible. Secretary Mnuchin is a very talented person, very smart, very successful, unintelligible. We're going to be putting that out on Wednesday or shortly thereafter. But let me leave a little room just in case unintelligible. And that's a big story because a lot of people think I'm going to put it out much later. Oh, God, my stupid. You know, I get these stupid calls all day long, and I have a new phone that I can block people on.
Yes.
I must block 20 calls a day. But anyway,
you know, yes,
but he goes on and on, and it's all about him. But, okay, so here's
only
another.
In terms that it will be a massive, massive tax cut. It will be bigger, I believe, bigger than any tax cut ever. Maybe the biggest tax cut we've ever had. That's an actual quote. Meanwhile,
yes.
We don't need our tax rates are at the lowest they've been in decades and decades. And what we need is money in the Treasury to do infrastructure and things. And yet he's talking about tax cuts for the billionaires.
For the billionaires, for himself.
Yeah.
And so what he's also stupidly doing by emphasizing these tax cuts is drawing attention to the fact that he hasn't shown us his tax returns yet.
That's
and
right.
That's going to be reviving the discussion again. That's how stupid he is. Anyway. Rogue POTUS staff had a series of tweets.
Yes.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
This just killed me.
I believe have this audio here somewhere.
Oh, do you? Oh, you? Okay, so I'll set it up.
Hold on.
He congratulated a wounded soldier for being awarded the Purple Heart. He congratulated, and this is after in August 2016, he said, I always wanted to get the Purple Heart.
He always wanted a Purple Heart, not realizing in order to get a Purple Heart, you need to be, you know, injured on the battlefield. So those damn bone heel spurs or whatever bullshit he used to get a deferment from the draft in Vietnam.
Yeah.
But here he is. He's at Walter Reed, the only time he's been to Walter Reed. And he goes there because he hears that a soldier, his name is Alvaro... hold on, I will tell you his last name in a second. Barrientos. Alvaro Barrientos is getting the Purple Heart. So Dumps shows up to, you know, to steal the valor and steal the spotlight and says this.
So I heard about this and I wanted to do it myself. So congratulations on behalf of Melania, myself, and the entire nation. A tremendous, tremendous job. Congratulations.
It's hard to hear, I know, but he said, congratulations on behalf of Melania and myself and from the entire nation. You don't congratulate someone on getting your leg blown off so you get the purple heart.
And the visual, I can no longer see the video because when my computer died, the video went away.
Yeah.
But if you showed it, he kisses the wife twice.
Oh.
It was sort of disgusting. And then he gave the soldier like this little pat on the shoulder. It was just, the whole
and
thing
then
was just
then
done
wrong. Then he scooches down, you know, because the guy's sitting in a wheelchair and scooches down next to him
to
get
picture,
in the picture.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He posed for the picture. He put on his serious face.
Yeah.
It was all wrong. Everything about it was wrong and embarrassing. Okay, so the Rogue POTUS staff account.
Yes.
Tweets, time to prepare. Several official spin lines being debated for inevitable questions about this weekend's botched Purple Heart presentation. And then he starts listing all the rationales. One, POTUS was congratulating him on being recognized for his sacrifices.
Oh, I see.
Don't you realize? Two, POTUS was congratulating him on his role for protecting the facility during the attack.
Okay.
Dummies.
Uh-huh.
Three, POTUS's comments speak for themselves, i.e., the default reply when even a bad rationalization cannot be cooked up. Four, POTUS was recognizing the soldier's heroic qualities, i.e., congratulations for being a hero.
Right.
Five, look, why are you complaining that POTUS was admiring a war hero? POTUS respects the military. Obama, Benghazi, War of 1812. Six, fake news.
Yeah, that's
perfect.
Anything that's at all critical of him is, you know, they label fake news.
Everything.
Everything.
Everything. Okay, here's something that happened. This is a tweet. It's now slightly dated. You know, it's really funny when I send you these tweets, I try to wait toward the end of the day so they stay newsworthy, right?
Yep.
And every time I do that, by nighttime, something's changed.
But it's still newsworthy. They've since taken down. Well, this is CNBC's Steve Kopack.
So
go ahead.
It's from CNBC's Steve Kopack, and he says, "Why is Mar-a-Lago being promoted on two State Department websites?" And he links to these websites where they're actually promoting the private country club that you have to pay $200,000 to have access to the president's secret meetings.
Now, the first link goes to a page at the UK, the US Embassy and Consulates in the United Kingdom. So this promotion of Mar-a-Lago, an advertisement for Mar-a-Lago, was on the website uk.usembassy.gov/Mar-a-Lago Winter White House. That's what the page was. And then now it says page not found. We're sorry. The page you're looking for might have been renamed or removed, but don't lose hope. You probably still have the information you need. So that's one place it was at. The other one, when you follow that link, it takes you to share.america.gov/Mar-a-Lago Winter White House. And this time, the headline is still there, Mar-a-Lago, the Winter White House. And it says, the intention of the article was to inform the public about where the president has been hosting world leaders. We regret any misperception and have removed the post.
Misperception. It was our fault. It was our misperception. It wasn't that they broke the emoluments clause law, you know, constitutional issues there. But yes, they did take some stuff down. They took down their little ads and they made some lame comment about, well, we're sorry you guys misunderstood, you know, that we were advertising a private enterprise owned by the president that he profits off of when we put it up there. Meanwhile, our buddy Empty Wheel tweeted in response, those screen caps of State Department advertising Mar-a-Lago are going for the lawsuit mandating visitor logs, not to mention the emoluments clause violations, by the way.
You know, I was looking actually for, I thought I had it, but I can't locate it. Audio of Joni Ernst. Remember Helmet Hat Joni Ernst from Iowa?
Sure.
So she did some town hall meetings when she was home in her district or in her state. Her state is her district. And one of the things she was asked is about all his trips to Florida. He has spent more time in the first 100 days traveling to Florida, where he's eaten up more than I think Obama spent in a full year in less than the first 100 days in terms of travel. But that aside, you know, she said, I do think he should spend more time at the White House. That's what it's there for. And that's where he should be entertaining foreign dignitaries and world leaders, not at some, you know, private club that he makes a profit off of. Oh, my God. I also saw some pictures from some local, you know, trust fund babies, some, you know, kids who are, you know, fooling around at Mar-a-Lago's and Palm Beach brats, whose parents obviously have memberships there. And they're in the dining room and they're taking selfies with the president. You know, that's because...
And see, that's...
That's pay for play. That's pay for access. And so if you're rich enough in the United States, then you can rub shoulders with the president too.
Exactly. That was the next thing out of my mouth, was that people with enough money have access, not only access to the president, but apparently access to his lax standards for privacy, because, his security there isn't great when he's having these little meetings at tables outdoors. So, everything about this is just completely wrong. You know, I should do a segment called Random Laffy or something, because I have all these little notes that I always take to tell you, like Spicer at his White House briefing yesterday. One of the things he said, this was just so wrong. We want to answer your questions as truthfully as possible.
Uh-huh.
Not truthfully.
Right.
As truthfully as possible. He actually admitted to being dishonest in that sentence. And nobody picked up on that. I mean, you know, that's not what you say.
No.
That's not what you do.
No.
The other thing he said was, this was just funny. It was just his syntax. He bragged about the number of legislation.
Oh, my God. But how can he? They've gotten no legislation passed. Obama. Trump has not signed one bill into law yet.
But it's singular, the number of legislation.
But there hasn't been
not.
One. But they did put out, and Trump is protesting, oh, the 100 days doesn't mean anything. You know, that's his new thing. Oh, it's not about 100 days. It's, you know, a random number.
Right.
Doesn't mean anything.
It's meaningless. What?
Right. Meanwhile, the White House put out a press release. Jim Acosta at CNN tweeted it out. And President Trump's 100 days of historic accomplishments. So it starts with getting government out of the way. President Donald J. Trump has done more to stop the government from interfering in the lives of Americans in his first 100 days than any other president in history. And then it says, President Trump has signed 13 Congressional Review Act resolutions in his first 100 days, more than any other president. These resolutions nullified unnecessary regulations and block agencies from reissuing them. Then there's a little bullet point below it. Since CRA resolutions were introduced under President Clinton, they've been used only once under George W. Bush. He signed 13 of them. And they're touting this as an accomplishment. Then taking executive action.
That's all they can tout.
Right. Well, and then they're touting this.
And they called Obama a dictator.
Right. Taking executive action.
That's the thing. Executive actions. Yeah.
That's
the only way he can feel important is to boss somebody around and put a signature on some cardboard thing and hold it up like show and tell with like paste and macaroni and glitter all over it like a kid.
Right.
Lucky I can write my name. I mean, that's his accomplishment,
right?
His holding press photo ops,
yes,
and signing his name in a big Sharpie,
right? And so, I pulled this clip. I think was in What's News, but let me play it again to just spotlight it. Here we go.
Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch is now Justice Gorsuch. There was that military strike
against
Assad.
These are his only accomplishments, by the way.
Two sets of immigration bans, both of which have been stopped by the courts, and of course, President Trump has signed more executive orders than any Oval Office occupant since
ever.
World War II. 25
right.
executive orders, to be exact, rolling back regulations and exerting executive powers on issues ranging from trade to taxes. Although, now that I mentioned these executive orders...
We don't want to continue to watch people signing executive orders, because that was not what the Constitution and the brilliant designers of this incredible document had in mind. We need people that can make deals and can work.
Thank
because
you,
right
Trump.
Now in Washington, there's total, absolute gridlock.
Okay, so he's criticizing the use of executive orders, but they're touting this in the press release of what he's accomplished in his first 100 days. And it says, President Trump will have signed 30 executive orders during his first 100 days. And then it goes down the list. Obama signed 19, W signed 11, Clinton 13, H.W. 11, Reagan 18, Carter 16, Nixon 15, Johnson 26, ooh, he's close, Kennedy 23, Eisenhower 20, Truman 25, and FDR 9, all signed during their first 100 days. So that's an accomplishment, right? But my favorite is a slew of legislation signed. And then it says, despite historic Democrat obstructionism, can I puke now? President Trump has worked with Congress to pass more legislation in his first 100 days than any president since Truman. And then it says President Trump has worked with Congress to enact 28 laws during the first 100 days of his administration, worked with them to enact them, but hasn't signed a single one. And Obama enacted 11 laws during his first 100 days. W enacted 7, Clinton 24, HW 18, Reagan 9. And these are all enacted, but under Trump, he's worked with Congress to enact 28 laws, but none of them were enacted. None of them were passed.
Big old goose egg there, right?
Oh my God.
And not to mention that the whole Justice Gorsuch thing was only accomplished because they pulled the nuclear option on us.
Well, because they stole the seat, because they wouldn't even give a hearing to the then president's nominee when Scalia died with 11 months still to go in Obama's term.
Right. So if anybody accomplished anything, it was Mitch McConnell, Obama's term. And if anything wasn't accomplished, it was Gorsuch getting into the court because they pulled the nuclear option. So there, in no way could he take credit for something so unethical anyway. But he, you know, since he wants to, sure, give it to him. That's great. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. By the way, so then today, there was an amazing New Yorker article. It's called 100 Days of Trump. With his nativist and purely transactional view of politics, he threatens to be democracy's most reckless caretaker. It's by David Remnick. I wish I had highlighted this one sentence. It is just brutal. This is a long, brutal reflection on his first 100 days that I really suggest you read. 100 Days of Trump, it's called, the New Yorker. It's dated May 1st. Fantastic. It's just, I should have excerpted it, which of course I didn't do. But, I mean, he said, on April 29th, Trump will have occupied the office for, you know, 100 days, blah, blah, blah. His presidency has become the demoralizing daily obsession of anyone concerned with global security, the vitality of the natural world, the national health, constitutionalism, civil rights, criminal justice, a free press, science, public education, and the distinction between fact and its opposite. That's the nicest part. Oh, here it is. Impulsive, egocentric, and mendacious, Trump has, in the same span, set fire to the integrity of his office. That's just the first paragraph.
Yeah.
Read it.
Oh, my
really
God.
Read that
I will.
One.
I definitely will.
It's
hard. It really is difficult to get through this stuff.
It is. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I really do agree with that. It's painful. I mean, I laugh at it because if I don't, I'm going to bang my head against the wall. But, and laugh is my name for a reason, because I'll cry if I don't laugh. But yeah, it's not only pathetic and scary, it's dangerous.
Yep.
It's eye-opening, it's jaw-dropping. I mean, any adjective you can come up with. Today, we found out that Michael Flynn was supposed to report payments from Russia and Turkey, but there was no evidence that he did that. And the White House won't tell Congress if they knew about it.
And they're blocking. You know, Jason Chaffetz, I thought that his, you know, his stepping down and his probable resignation before the end of his term was because of some wrongdoing on his part. And I still wouldn't put it past him. Mm-hmm. But I really think it's he got tired of having to cover for this guy, because you know it's coming from the top. You know it's coming from from the White House. We've since found out that after his, you know, Obama wiretap to the Trump Towers nonsense, that there was like an APB put out to anybody and everybody in the West Wing, find some way to make him right.
Oh, yeah.
They were given the directive,
absolutely.
Find some way to back up Trump's ridiculous, batshit crazy assertion that Obama wiretapped him at Trump Tower. They were all put on notice.
Which that should have been... Isn't that illegal to,
yes,
to, you know, wag the dog thing
but,
on that?
But if, but
I mean,
if the president does it,
illegal. They're just
if
sort
the
of
president
saying, oh,
does it, it's not illegal. And he keeps going back to Nixon.
Yeah. Well, meantime, so their default answer today through Spicer was, well, you know, we didn't know because it was before we were in the White House. And basically he was saying we didn't want to know and that they didn't vet Flynn enough, well enough. They just let, you know, because they were rushing around trying to get him in and they just didn't look at details, you know. And so now their excuse is, no, it was before we got in and Flynn and we don't know anything. It's the Sergeant Schultz thing.
Yes, I
know,
nothing.
I see nothing.
I know nothing.
Right.
Yes.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just amazing. The amount of unethical, illegal, emolument clausey, just Watergate style things that have gone on in this White House makes your head spin every day.
It does.
I lose track of the day before because 20 new things happened the following day.
Right. And by the way, did you hear, you know, what Trump said the other day? We got, you know, health care coming. It's going to be terrific. It's going to be better than ever. It was going to be great.
Yeah.
Well, I found out the details on this new compromise, which of course is written by three people in a closed room. And they talk about how the Democrats passed Obamacare in the dead of night, which couldn't be any further from the truth because it went on, if people remember, for years. It went on for 2 years written in three different committees, then were conferenced, and then they went through rewrites and markups, and then they combined. And I mean, it was ad nauseum. We couldn't get away from the thing, and we all read it over and over again. I helped read it for a website, read the bill. So... But here are the new details to get it through the House, which is so absurd. One of them, states would be able to get waivers from two Affordable Care Act insurance regulations, the essential health benefits, meaning all the things that have to be covered, and the rule that older adults can't be charged more than three times as much as younger ones. States would be able to get waivers on both those. So you don't have to cover pregnancy. You don't have to cover mental health. And, all of those pesky old people like me, you can charge them as much as you want. They'd also be able to get a waiver from the rule that people that can't be charged more for pre-existing conditions. So the states could get a waiver saying, well, we're not going to cover pre-existing conditions. In those states, if someone with a pre-existing condition has kept themselves insured, they wouldn't be charged more because of their health condition. If they hadn't stayed insured, they could be charged more. It's that old 62-day thing, which was always in effect, you know, before the Affordable Care Act, which didn't work. And then... Mm-hmm. People who didn't stay insured could also be charged a 30% penalty in their premiums, but that penalty could be waived. Oh, how generous of them. Meanwhile, if this gets them a few Freedom Caucus, meaning Tea Party votes, it will certainly ensure that they won't get through the Senate. So, you know.
Of course. But he just wants the accomplishment of getting it through the House.
Yes, that's all. Well,
that's all he
wants.
I don't think he understands.
I really don't think he understands the difference.
No, well, he doesn't. But he's all he is looking for is approval and win. Those two words, approval and win. And he will consider it a win. He'll say, see, the House passed it. It's just a stupid Senate. You know, all he cares about is the flat line, which is where he is now. He's at a big flat line. Nothing is happening.
Nope.
Everything has failed. And so if he can say he got it through the House, he's going to go crowing about that for about 3 months.
Gotta laugh. Find her at laffiesplace.com and at NicoleSandler.com. With that, we're done for the day. Oh, my God.
Well, so done, Nicole.
We made it through the hour. Frankly, I wasn't sure I was going to. Progressive Voices.
You did great.
Progressive Voices is gone now. So I can be honest, I've been having a rough time. You know, this world with Trump at the helm of this nation is depressing enough. But I put it now at the tag at the end of What's News. People ask how they can help. donate if you can. We're really hurting over
donate,
here.
Donate. NicoleSandler.com. There's a PayPal button, right?
Yep. NicoleSandler.com/donate. We could really use your help now more than ever. And with that, tomorrow, John Nichols of The Nation will be here. Thursday, Howie Klein returns. And Friday, by popular demand, Greg Palast will return to the show. So we got a good week for you. As always, thank you. Got a laugh. We will see you on the Twitters. And we'll leave you with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen in the Green News Report. Bye, Laffy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's Tuesday, April 25, 2017.
What do we want?
Science!
When do we want it?
Yeah!
The March for Science was a global success on 7 continents.
We've had close to 5,000 scientists contact us to say they wanted to run for office.
What's next? Recruiting scientists to run for elected office. The planet hits a new milestone in rising CO2, plus, for Britain, its own milestone, the first full day without coal since the 1880s.
All of those encouraging stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Good evening. On this Saturday night, hundreds of thousands of people on 6 continents and throughout the United States came out in support of science.
And by the Sunday morning news shows, they were all forgotten. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, tens of thousands of scientists and people supporting them came out all over the world over the weekend.
Yes, they did. In fact, it was more than just tens, but we'll have more on that in a moment. First, a quick follow-up to a story in our last Green News Report. After a swift public outcry, the U.S. Treasury Department has rejected oil giant ExxonMobil's request for an exemption from sanctions against Russia that bar the company from moving forward on its offshore drilling deal. Exxon's request had attracted a lot of attention in the U.S. because the $500 billion deal was originally negotiated by then Exxon CEO Rex Tillerson, who is now U.S. Secretary of State.
Yeah, a lot of people presumed that this was going to be it. They were going to lift those sanctions, at least as far as Exxon was concerned. But the administration continues to surprise us one way or another.
Indeed, they do. Also surprising, by all accounts, the March for Science on Earth Day was a global success.
Climate change is my biggest concern.
Science seems under attack. Now facts seem under attack.
You can see there's a lot of hope. And I think a little bit of fear, but a lot of hope.
Hundreds of thousands of people marched in the nation's capital and in more than 600 cities around the world to show their support for science and scientific research. And this was on all 7 continents. Even scientists at research outposts at the North and South Poles sent their photos of their mini marches. The nonpartisan march was to rally the public to defend science and its role in informing public policy in the face of the Trump administration's rollbacks of pollution protections, its denial of climate science, and its massive proposed cuts to scientific research and federal science agencies like the EPA and the National Institutes of Health. It's also notable that the March for Science was the top story on the broadcast networks, leading the nightly news on Saturday on CBS, ABC, and NBC.
It's been 47 years since the first Earth Day. Today, it was observed around the world with a focus on science.
Tens of thousands of scientists and their supporters taking to the streets.
However, Media Matters for America notes that some networks still couldn't resist promoting false journalistic balance and provided a platform to climate science deniers in their reports. We're looking at you, CNN and CBS.
Well, at least they covered it, at least on Saturday night after the marches had happened. But by Sunday morning, as Media Matters also points out, all of these marches, hundreds of thousands of people, were completely ignored the next day on all of the Sunday news shows.
Yep. And now the scientific community and environmentalists are gearing up for the People's Climate March on Saturday, April 29th. The Washington Post reports that the march's organizers are working on what's next, building on the momentum to create a science advocacy network to help scientists communicate their findings to the public and to help the public engage in science and speak up for science in policy making. But one group is going further. 314 Action, named after the first 3 digits of pi, is a new organization working to recruit scientists to run for for office. In an interview with PBS NewsHour, founder Shaughnessy Naughton, a chemist turned congressional candidate, said politics needs more problem solvers.
We really need pro-science voices and people with scientific backgrounds to step up and get involved. We've had close to 5,000 scientists contact us to say they wanted to run for office.
But as the people march, the planet just marched past another carbon dioxide milestone. Thanks to humans digging up and burning fossil fuels, the concentrations of heat-trapping CO2 in the atmosphere have topped 410 parts per million over the weekend for the first time in the history of our species.
That's not good.
Nope. The planet's surface has already warmed nearly a full degree Celsius since the first Earth Day in April 1970. But finally, some good news. On Friday, the day before Earth Day, Britain saw its first full day without burning coal for electricity for the first time since the Industrial Revolution began in the late 1880s. Greenpeace UK called it, quote, a watershed in the energy transition.
No coal for the entire nation of Britain. Kind of amazing, wondering when the U.S. is going to even come close to anything like that feat.
No coal, please. We're British.
For much more on all of the stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Say you want a revolution. Well, you know.